Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
To Afghanistan now, and Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, joins us from a BBC studio in Kabul, Afghanistan. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning.
Let's begin with a news story that broke this morning. We've got a helicopter down in Helmand province that's had NATO troops on board, and there are casualties. What's the latest, as far as you can tell?
We just talked to various officials about that recently. It turns out that it looks like four soldiers killed. They're not announcing the nationality, but it was a helicopter operating in a British area supporting British troops. They usually wait some time before they announce which nationality it is.
All right, let's step back and take a look at the big picture. President Obama has long held that Afghanistan, of course, is a key battleground in the war on terror. There is a surge scheduled. Actually, they've been acquiring troops in Afghanistan for months now with the idea of beginning an offensive in Kandahar sometime in the summer. Have plans changed, Rod Nordland?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say Kandahar offensive, too, because we've all been saying Kandahar offensive. And when I put that question to the general in command down in Kandahar and said, so what about the Kandahar offensive? He said, what offensive? There never was plans for an offensive. We don't have an offensive and we're not doing an offensive, which was news to me. And they maintain that the plan all along is what they're doing now, which is a civilian surge trying to deliver more services to win people over before they step up military operations. And of course, part of that, in order to deliver services and to have civilians working there, there are a lot of people from the American embassy as well as other countries. In order to do that, you need more military forces to protect them. So they're spinning this in a completely different direction now. And I think what really happened was things did not go very well with the Marja offensive, and they want now to try a different approach spin it so it doesn't look like they're backing down from a robust military operation.
Well, you refer to Marja there. I remember we talked with military spokespeople at the time that offensive was taking place, and even they were describing with some surprising candor the inability to get civilians in place quick enough to have an impact on the civilian populations. What are they doing to correct that this time around?
What they're doing this time is they're surging a huge, relatively huge number of civilians, particularly American civilians, hired by the State Department, some on contract, some foreign service officers. But the American embassy presence alone has gone from eight diplomats down there to more than 100, 130 now, I think, going up to 150. And they are basically getting their hands dirty, delivering services to people there, everything from seed programs to literally going out and finding job candidates to fill vacancies in the local governor's office. So they're going to try to get government working better, particularly on the district levels in districts around Kandahar, in the hopes that they can win a lot of people over without having to resort to a major military offensive to drive out the Taliban.
You know, it's interesting you say get their hands dirty, these diplomats. I mean, in fact, USAID and the State Department was the sort of nation-building agency in the U.S. government in the past, and certainly during the Bush administration, it's the Pentagon that took over that operation. Are we seeing a shift back to the use of the State Department in tandem with the Pentagon rather than relying on the Pentagon exclusively for these kinds of nation-building programs?
I think that's true. And in the past, there was a lot of conflict between the civilian and the military sides. And they say that's something they've put behind them now, and they're working very much in tandem. In a way, they have to, because no civilian can do anything in Kandahar without military support, because they can't survive a day in most places in Kandahar unless they're very heavily guarded. So they do seem to be working pretty much hand in glove. And if they have differences, it's not something they've expressed. I mean, certainly the military has bought into the idea of doing counterinsurgency and delivering services is a big part of that.
You know, I'm wondering if, you know, members of the Taliban read your report in the New York Times today, if they're going to, you know, say, well, we've won. Our attacks over the last several weeks and months have clearly caused the Obama Pentagon to stand down. Any Taliban reaction and any sense that the pattern of their attacks has had an influence on these decisions?
I think that what happened in Marja has had an influence on it, because things have not, you know, the Taliban still control most of Marja except for the center most of the time, certainly at night, and they haven't been able to deliver the services. But what I think does happen, I think the Taliban do read the New York Times and everybody else, and they are very astute followers of the scene. They realize what the Americans are trying to do. They're trying to build capacity, and they're counteracting that, or trying to counteract that, by a campaign of assassinations, particularly of government officials. I mean, the U.S. is busily trying to find officials to fill vacancies in the governor's office, and the Taliban is killing people who work for the governor if they can, and scaring others away by doing that. So it's very much game on in that sense, and they realize that they're going to have to shift their tactics in just the way that we've shifted ours.
Well, we're speaking with Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. You know, before we go, in Kandahar, it's really not Hamid Karzai who controls things down there. Who is the NATO forces and the American diplomats relying on as far as the government officials are concerned, presuming they can be kept alive?
Right. Well, the person who really controls things down there is Ahmad Walid Karzai, you know, the president's brother. And there are a lot of accusations about him. He's the provincial council chairman and really the strong man in the area. The Americans are putting their hopes in the governor, Governor Wesa, and the mayor of Kandahar, both of whom, by the way, are North American exiles returned to Afghanistan.
All right, Rod, we're going to leave it there. Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Very interesting report in the New York Times. What offensive, says the commander in Kandahar, about a planned offensive by NATO forces in Kandahar for this summer?